Good morning. Our first reading today is from Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our next reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 25. For this is a gracious thing, when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. This is group participation today especially. John 10, verses 1 to 10. We'll read this together. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, 6 years ago, in April of 2017, a young man sat in the front seat of a Volkswagen van parked two blocks away from San Gerges Coptic Church in Tanta, Egypt. As the church bell began to ring, calling worshipers to Palm Sunday service, the young man slipped out of the van. He walked two blocks to the church, sweating profusely, because even though it was a warm and humid morning, he wore a coat. As he joined a stream of worshipers entering the crowded sanctuary, a security guard suddenly grabbed his arm. He tried to wrestle himself away. The guard tightened his grip. The young man could see this was as far as he was going. So reaching in his coat pocket, he squeezed a detonator, and the explosive belt strapped around his waist erupted, sending nails and screws and ball bearings hurtling all around. 45 people were killed. The vast majority of people representing every religion on earth, without exception, would condemn this young man's action as despicable evil. So why am I telling this disgusting story of senseless violence and death? I'm telling it because of the misguided motivation behind it. Somehow, that young jihadist, that suicide bomber, expected to be welcomed into heaven because of what he'd done. That sounds preposterous to us, and it should. But who does go to heaven? And why? For those of us who've lost loved ones, for those of us who expect to die someday, this is an important question. And in our gospel lesson today from John 10, using an analogy, Jesus addresses that very question. Who goes to heaven and why? You know, of the 11 major religions in the world, including forms of Buddhism and Hinduism and Islam and Judaism and Christianity, all of them, except one, teach that heaven is a reward for human effort. There's only one dissident religion when it comes to the question of who receives eternal life. Only one alternative view. That's the view we find in the Bible. In our gospel lesson today from John 10, the sheepfold, or the pasture, is an analogy for heaven. The sheep represent you and me. In verse 9, Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." That is an outrageous claim by Jesus. He's saying that only by him we can be reconciled with God and go to heaven. You know, this whole passage from John 10 here, it has a backstory. It starts in John 9. With the incident where Jesus healed a man born blind in Jerusalem. That created quite a stir in the neighborhood. According to the neighbors, Jesus must be the long-awaited Messiah, the Christ. Who else could heal a man born blind? So they brought the formerly blind man to the Pharisees, the officials at the temple. But rather than sharing the joy of the formerly blind man, or the astonishment and joy of the whole neighborhood, these Pharisees were outraged because Jesus had healed this guy on the Sabbath. He'd violated the law of Moses. He'd worked on the Sabbath. According to the Pharisees, absolutely no way is Jesus the Messiah. The John 10 passage we read today is Jesus responding to those Pharisees. Not only is he the long-awaited Messiah, Jesus explained, he's the door to the sheepfold, the door to heaven. If anyone enters by me, Jesus said, he will be saved. He will find pasture. Jesus associated the Pharisees with thieves and robbers, who neither knew nor cared for the sheep, God's people. Their only concern was for themselves. The startling thing here is Jesus' claim that he alone is the door to the sheepfold, to heaven. In John 14, 6, he puts it like this: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Or you could say, no one would go to heaven if it weren't for me. That's a claim that doesn't win Jesus many fans. It didn't back then, and it doesn't now. So why is Jesus the only way to heaven, the only way to God? Here's why. All of us are sinful. No human being meets God's standard of perfection. No human being earns his way to heaven. Isaiah says that even our good deeds are like filthy rags. Read what Paul says in Romans 3 about mankind. Or read what Jesus says in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. What it says is, it doesn't matter if you're Mother Teresa or you run a violent criminal drug cartel. No one is capable of earning their way to heaven, including you. But what has happened is that Christ has imputed or credited his perfect righteousness to you. So when God looks at you, he doesn't see your failure. He sees instead the perfect righteousness of Christ. Read Romans 5. You know, a while ago I read a piece written by Presbyterian pastor Alistair Begg, who pointed out that if the early Christians in Rome would have been content to simply include Jesus as just one in a pantheon of deities, rather than the only way to heaven, then they would have, in many cases, avoided the persecution that they experienced. Instead, because they confessed what Jesus taught, they were used as human torches or thrown to the lions in the arena or forced to defend themselves without weapons from armed gladiators. All for entertainment. The idea that Jesus is the only way to heaven continues to be controversial. In America, the common belief is that all roads lead to God, as long as you're sincere and seek to do good deeds. And while that sounds tolerant and equitable and fair, we're still left alone with God's word at the end of the day. And God's word tells us that Jesus alone is the door. Whoever enters by him will be saved. Jesus' claim is exclusive. But that's not primarily why Christianity is different. That's not why we who call on Christ are completely unique in the world. Christianity is an outlier because Scripture teaches that it's Jesus who saved us. We have not saved ourselves. Despite our selfish sinfulness, God's mercy toward us never fails. And that's unheard of in the world of religious thought. We don't earn God's favor by doing good deeds or by fighting as a jihadist. You receive God's kindness because he gives to you as a gift faith in him. Read Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. He gives any faith that you have, whether it be the size of a mustard seed or more. It's a gift. given to you because he loves you. That's it. You're not going to heaven because you're good. You're going to heaven because Jesus died an atoning death for you, and you belong to him. You've heard the term justification. It's a legal term that means to declare just or to declare innocent. You've been declared innocent by Christ, even though you continue to sin on a daily basis. That's the good news of the gospel. Though you are sinful, Christ died for you, and you're forgiven. And this is how that truth can play out in your life. When you're searching for some reason that God should help you, when you're scouring your mind trying to think of some argument to present to God to convince God of your worthiness, if you ever find yourself doing that, just relax. Relax and ask God to help. To help you simply because of his unfailing love for you. And you'll find that God is full of mercy. If you're dealing with disappointment or sadness or grief, cast your cares upon God who knows your past and sees your future and will take care of you despite your failures. And if life overwhelms you, if your sin and your failure is always before your own eyes, cry out to God who forgives all those who seek forgiveness and experience peace. Because surely it is God who saves you. He saves you today, and he'll save you tomorrow. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love and compassion and mercy toward us who are sinful people. Lord, we thank you that you have declared us just. You have declared us innocent, even though we are guilty. Lord, fill us with gratitude toward you for what you have done for us, and fill us with compassion for others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.